afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Monday, April 3rd, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Well, we're going to talk about the markets today. And it's interesting, the Dow was down about 100, over 100 points early today, at least until about 11:30. And, of course, that's when Europe closes and then Wall Street takes over. Most of them have recovered, for the most part. Gold was up, stayed up most of the day. Right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, we're looking at gold 290 to the positive at 1253. Silver down, a little pressure at 0.04 at 1828. Platinum was up 6 at 959. Palladium was up 4 at 806. The USDX today was down 0.04 at 100.52. Crude oil down 0.26 at 50.34. And the PayPal markets today, the Dow, it's still adjusting a little bit, but was down 12 points, 20,650. The NASDAQ was down 17 at 58.94. The S&P was down 3 at 23.58. 10-year yield is down 0.05 at 2.35%. Euro is 107. That was up. European and Asian markets, just same old, same old, same as it is over here. Both a mixture of ups and downs across the board. So, you can blame, you can almost pull anything out of your hat and say that this is why Wall Street fell today. Some of the reports are blaming some U.S. states that accused President Trump's administration of illegally delaying certain energy efficiency standards, casting further doubt over the government's ability to deliver on its promised reforms. But this is really kind of interesting. You have a coalition of U.S. states and municipalities. They're actually beginning legal action against the administration, saying it's delaying energy efficiency standards for several consumers and commercial products, violated federal law. The challenge, also joined by the environmental groups, came after the U.S. Department of Energy last month delayed some standard proposals under the Obama administration to reduce air pollution and operating costs associated with the products. But you've got 10 Democratic attorney generals. You have plus New York City. You have a Pennsylvania regulator who notified Energy Secretary Rick Perry of their plan to sue in 60 days. The same group, excluding Maryland, on Friday petitioned the Federal Appeals Court in New York to force administration to implement ceiling fan efficiency standards that were to have taken effect 2 weeks ago but have been delayed. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said adopting the common sense efficiency standards would dramatically reduce air pollution, including from carbon dioxide, mercury, and methane. Yeah, those ceiling fans, they're a dangerous lot, aren't they?
Well, if you're tall,
he said enough
get smacked in the head by him.
He said enough electricity would be saved to serve 36 million households annually and save consumers and businesses close to $24 billion. When was the last time anyone saw any savings from your ceiling fan of late? So the $24 billion of savings, would most likely would be the power companies, the electrical companies or whatever, the manufacturers and so forth. So, another reason they said the markets were down, Trump held out the possibility yesterday of using trade as a lever to secure China's cooperation against North Korea. Again, they have a meeting later on in this week, Mr. Trump does, with the Chinese president, Jinping. And so investors are waiting to see if corporate reports and, will have an impact later on in the week. Well, let me change that around. First you have that, and then you have quarterly or earnings are will be beginning. So it could be an active week. We'll have to see what, you know, how the rest of the week fares out in the paper markets.
Got an article from the Post talking about North Korea. It says Mattis calls North Korea reckless. Trump ups the ante. U.S. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis has made it clear that he does not tolerate North Korea's recent nuclear weapon and missile testing. Now, that's interesting language all by itself. Does not tolerate. Well, they're sending them off. They are launching those missiles. They are testing their nuclear devices. If I understand correctly, there's another nuclear weapon that's going to go off sometime in the next week or so. We've got the Secretary of Defense for the United States says he won't tolerate it, and North Korea says they're going to do it. So it's coming to some sort of a serious conflict. Mattis said North Korea's actions were reckless and their nuclear weapons program has got to be stopped. All right. That's strong language. These comments were in response to a question about Iran. When Mattis said he sees North Korea as more of an imminent threat now. Mattis used to say that Iran was the biggest danger, and now he believes that North Korea is more of a danger. But this is interesting because he was asked a question about Iran, and he answered with an answer about North Korea. Right, that indicates that he's got North Korea on his mind, and he's going to talk. If you want to talk to him about how to make brownies, he's going to tell you how to deal with North Korea. He's got this on his mind as an imminent threat, and the word here apparently was his, referring to North Korea as an imminent threat, according to the Financial Times.
Yeah. I think what Trump said, you know, you can go on with your article, but what Trump said yesterday too is disturbing because he said he's willing to take North Korea on his own, alone. And the thing of it is, that means no one else.
There's more to it than
not just China.
I know he's just trying to get China to help, but if China doesn't want to help, he's implying this is going to happen.
Yeah.
The article continues, says, according to Financial Times, during a recent interview, President Trump upped the ante, saying, well, if China is not going to solve North Korea, we will. That is all I'm telling you. And then he goes on, he says, China has great influence over North Korea, and China will either decide to help us with North Korea or they won't. If they do, that will be very good for China, and if they don't, it won't be good for anyone. Mattis, however, did not give details about how the Trump administration plans to deal with this North Korean problem. However, U.S. Army strategist Major M.L. Kavanaugh has pointed out that a full-scale invasion would be difficult due to the Afghanistan-like geography, and the North Korean army is a much better trained, much better armed version of the Taliban. More an invasion would put American allies, South Korea, and Japan in danger due to their close proximity to North Korea. South Korea is only 50 miles south from North Korea's border. I didn't know there was a 50-mile strip between the two of them, but that sounds like a misprint to me. But in any case, they're again warning that an invasion, that's twice in this article, an invasion is probably not going to take place. So they go on, they say, what will likely happen? And according to the author of this article, China will, quote, recognize the seriousness, unquote, of the North Korean problem and then play for time. It's not likely that the U.S. will have to invade North Korea directly. However, it does seem that Trump will work to solve this problem within his tenure as president. Well, if they're talking about we're going to try to deal with North Korea over the course of the next 4 or 8 years, I don't think that's the way this is going to work out. I think North Korean problem is going to be resolved dramatically, and perhaps if we can believe what we're hearing from Mattis, Secretary of Defense, and President Trump, if we can believe what they're saying, and they're not just trying to scare North Korea, they're telling us, look, this is going to happen pretty quick. All right, we're going to talk to China. If China doesn't want to help, we'll take care of it. But they're telling us it almost certainly won't be an invasion, which means there are going to be bombers or
nukes,
missiles that are going to be used on North Korea and to wreak considerable havoc and probably to destroy the North Korean premier, Kim Il-sung. And so we shall see, but it's certain.
More than that.
Oh, they'll destroy more than that. But if they are able, I'm going to guess that if they're able, basically just to take him out, that would be the best thing they could perhaps do, assuming any of this was any good.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know if it is or it's not.
That won't happen. But you know, it's I saw interviews of. There was a couple that was interviewed in South Korea about what they thought about North Korea sending off their missiles and so forth. And they said, it's no big deal. they said, yeah, I mean, they do it all the time. And, we know we're not scared of them and so forth. Well, they do got the U.S. on their side, so they might feel a little bit confident. And then you have other people to talk to, and, they're ready to go to war. It'll be real interesting. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that meeting between Trump and the Chinese president on Friday. Because if Trump is saying it's going to be good for you if you stop North Korea, that means there's going to be negotiating deals on the trade, which has already been set. Yep. So you have to say, well, what kind of trade is that? That means he's not going to accuse them of manipulating their currencies. And you have to understand, too, you're going to have China sitting there just smiling and shaking his head, probably agreeing with everything that Trump says, but then as soon as they leave, you don't know what they're, you don't know what the Chinese president will do after that. So, and he's holding a whole lot of dollars, whole lot of debt of the U.S. So, they both have their own positioning places. It'll be interesting to see what comes of it. I'm sure we'll never ever really know what was truly agreed upon and so forth in that particular meeting. But
I'm not even worried about the meeting, Melody. Whatever that is will be somehow predictable.
The point is whether
it'll be bland, it'll be something, it won't be dramatic. If you wanted to be a fly on the wall, what you should be is a fly on the wall when the Chinese premier is talking about the problem with his help a week before the meeting. That's where there's those SOB Yankees, we're going to do some. And that's in Trump, whatever he's got to say, if you could hear him in private, and when he's speaking in private and there's the Chinese premier is not there, that's when you find out what's really going on. So if you ever get your little wish,
it would be interesting, to some degree, you're going to have Chinese shaking their head and Trump is going to lay out what he wants and, nothing will get done or perhaps, but you'll never know what the Chinese will eventually do. So the main point is North Korea won't be solved in the meeting on Friday. Once you start, and this administration drew a line in the sand, just as Obama did for Syria and to Assad, so only he backed away. I don't think this administration.
You mean Obama backed away?
Obama. Who did I say?
You didn't say.
Well, Obama.
You might have met Trump. You might have met Obama, but
I think I said Obama.
Sure.
But anyway, so Obama drew the line in the sand for Syria. He backed down. Trump won't back down.
I don't think so.
And this is much worse than.
I think Trump is going to make a statement here. He's certainly going to make a statement. All right. And what I mean by that is this. He has, as they say in the article I was just reading from, he has upped the ante. Right. I don't think that's strong enough for what we've heard. He has drawn a line in the sand. And now we're going to find out whether Trump will. If he's going to let that, is just going to back away from that line, or if he's going to enforce it. And this is going to be a statement of character, of power, of determination. I mean, this is a big thing. He said he's going to get these North Koreans. That's essentially what he said. And the world is sitting here waiting to see if he actually follows through, or if he you know, if he just backs off, if he pulls an Obama, essentially. I don't think he's going to pull an Obama. One way or another, the Chinese will help, or the Chinese will watch from a distance. But one way or another, I don't think Kim Il-sung is going to be running North Korea 90 days from now.
But this won't only just affect that area, it'll also affect our trade.
Oh, yeah.
So, that, I mean, it's... And if Trump threatens to act unilaterally against North Korea, that also means no NATO. It also means no allies. That means he's going in there alone.
Well, and, I don't think we're going in there, is my point. They're making it fairly clear to me. I think they're telling the truth in the interviews in that article. There isn't going to be an invasion. Which means if they're going to deal with them, they're just going to bomb them. The only thing there's going to be is bombers flying overhead and boom, boom, boom.
And and what's going to be coming out? So, you know, it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be a good thing. And, you know, people think, oh, they'll just go in and wipe them off the face. Well, no, it just isn't going to end like that.
No, I don't think so either. They're going to try to do this target Kim Il-sung, is my guess. And it may be that he and the people around him are going to get vaporized, but I don't think they're going to try to destroy North Korea. What they're going to try to do is the minimum amount of damage necessary to get Kim Il-sung. And if they can do that, they're going to
bet. That's what they think they can do.
Well, that's whether they can or they can't. The question is, how will the Chinese, how will the North Korean people react?
And how will China react?
Well, what are they going to do?
You know, Russia today, they had a metro explosion killing 10, injuring many. St. Petersburg, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, how that happened. If it was some sort of a terrorist attack, you know, who gets the, you know, finger pointed at them. I mean, all kinds of things can happen when you have a situation with Korea, and trade, again, is another big part of it. And, of course, maybe you don't even have to worry about trade if you go in and start World War III. I guess trade really doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Nobody wants World War III because it's bad for business.
Nobody wants it, Al. But in situations like this, that it happens.
Well, maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. We'll watch in three and see. I'm not in favor of bombing people and the rest of that sort of thing, but I have to admit, North Korea has been asking. I mean, they appear to be asking for it. All right, maybe it's just bad press. I don't know where it all goes, but they appear to be asking for it, and I think Trump will deliver. Let's take a break for a couple commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we got a great little special today on 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagles, selling them for the same price as a 1 ounce gold eagle. Usually the smaller you go in the size of your gold coin, the more you're going to pay for your gold. So a 1/4 ounce, you know, you can have some hefty premiums on there sometimes. But today we're offering them at a very special price. We have a limited amount, $330. If you buy one, we'll have to include shipping. Two or more will include shipping. So 1-800-375-4188, 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagles, $330. Today, Al, I was telling you on break, I received a catalog. It's a little one. From Montgomery Ward, Improving American Homes Since 1872. I actually thought they were out of business because you just don't see or hear anything about Montgomery Ward. And I don't know if you know who they are, Al.
Yeah, I know who they are. I hadn't thought about it, but the truth of the matter is I don't remember seeing anything about them for several years. It might be 3-5 years, maybe more, since I've seen anything about Montgomery Ward's. And yeah, they were big time for much of my life, and they have...
I know in the 90s and everything, they filed bankruptcies and closing stores, pretty much what the retailers are doing now. But on the very front of the catalog, it's not a catalog, it probably has 78 pages, so it's like a little magazine. And it says, "You're pre-approved! Buy now and pay later, the American way." I added the American way, but so again, you know, they're here, they want your credit, and they say, save your credit cards for other things. We want you for the Montgomery Ward credit card. So sign of the time, folks. And there's a number of big retail bankruptcies in 2017 already equal to all of last year. And we're only 3 months into the year. And already the retail battlefield is littered with 9 brands that have filed for bankruptcy. And that's the same number that filed in all of 2016. Well, you know, maybe there won't be any more for the rest of the year. Who knows? But as of right now, the retail market, again, is the number of bankruptcies already exceed that of 2016. Plus, you might have two more. There are two more that might be coming on the bankruptcy list. And
who are they?
Those two are Payless, which we talked about Payless Shoe on the store before, and BB. Both of them are struggling, and they could head into bankruptcy direction in the near future. I'm not quite sure what BB does, but Payless is a shoe store. And I remember, and we reported on that not too long ago. And, of course, they claim the biggest problem is the convenience of online shopping. And many of this year's filings, CNBC brought up another factor that might play into the recent onslaught of bankruptcies. Many of this year's filings are from retailers that were purchased in the past by private equity firms. So, you know, perhaps that has something to do with it, too. And that's another concern about the housing market. You have a lot of houses that were bought up after the housing crisis by a lot of hedge funds that turned them into rentals. And a lot of those mortgages are still listed. We can't forget about that stuff. The mortgages are still listed on the books. They're shown as assets.
Yep. Not only are they shown as assets, they're shown as And these many of the bonds that the Federal Reserve is sitting on and the different yep. assets they're allegedly sitting on, it's not just that they're still on the books as assets. They're still on the books at pretty much the market price that was perhaps true 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they were toxic assets. And the question is this. If you've got $3.5 trillion in assets on your books, alleged assets on your books, and you start selling them, and it becomes apparent that you don't have $3.5 trillion, maybe you've only got $2 trillion, or maybe even $1.5 trillion. It's not just a matter of, this is why we talked about this a little bit last week, where they said they were going to do this essentially stealthily and behind the scenes. They were going to sell off these bonds. Well, I think the reason for behind the scenes is I don't think they want people to realize, yeah, we're going to sell them, but when they sell them, the market price is going to become apparent. It's no longer worth, wow, this is worth $350,000. No, maybe it's only worth $100,000. And that means $250,000 out of an original $350,000 asset is about to disappear, and it can't disappear without having consequences. That, I think, is the danger in the Federal Reserve, for example, selling off the bonds on its asset sheet. And the same thing relative to what you were talking about. You can't, it's not just a question of can you sell them, can't you sell them? Can you get full market price for them? There's the question. And if you can't, then paper wealth is going to disappear. How much paper wealth can disappear before serious trouble afflicts the banks? If you have to admit, look, most of these bonds aren't worth maybe but a third of what they were originally priced, it may mean that many of the bonds being held as collateral by banks and whatever, they have to admit, these are only worth a third of face value. It means they have to call in loans. A whole bunch of things happen from this.
And what happens is so often we don't see the problems. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not advertised. They're not spoken about. They're not written about. We don't see these problems as long as everything is rosy and everything is kind of calm and flowing and, you know, so forth. There's no interruptions and so forth. They're just kind of put out of the way. That's why people ask me, well, I just can't believe how long this has been going on. And it's true. As long as everything's rosy. But what happens is when something gets out of whack, when you do have that black swan that happens, then you have these real problems, and they do come to the forefront, and they do add the additional pressures to the market, to the system, and maybe what could have been an easy recession all of a sudden turns into a crisis, a systemic crisis, and because then everything else just unfolds, and, you know, it's that house of cards. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as no one's shaking and everything's good and so forth, and you pull one out, you could still be okay. You pull two, and the next thing you know, the whole system collapses. And I think that's when we talk about how serious these things are, like the here Caterpillar, they're shutting plants in Illinois that employs 800. They're consolidating. They're closing they're moving the production to other facilities. They met with President Trump in February to talk about job creation. And at that point in time, there was, you know, quite a few workers at five major manufacturing companies that were looking to lose their jobs within the next couple of years, again, due to offshoring. So the company said it's going to transition its large wheel loaders and compactors to its plant in Decatur, Illinois, and medium wheel loaders to North Little Rock, Arkansas. Do you think these places, these other plants, are going to actually hire 800 employees? Absolutely not.
The reason they're closing other plants to begin with is that the demand is down. Right, they don't need to make as many as they have in the past.
True.
They've got more employees than they know what to do with. Therefore, they're going to close these plants and start employees at other plants who also are probably short on work.
Well,
we're going to say we're going to put up a new assembly line and we're going to give you some new things to compensate for the fact that your machines aren't selling that well either. We're going to bring in a new brand of machines, but somebody's going to lose their jobs.
All they're doing is restructuring because, you know, they should do well. If you have $1 trillion that are coming into this infrastructure, Caterpillar should do extremely well. You know, all they're doing is restructuring their costs. And when you're restructuring the costs, what are they doing? They're going to be laying off. So out of those 800 production positions, about 500 positions are supposed to be added to Decatur. I disagree with that because they might. you know. But
yeah, but will it happen
if employee A can absorb and work more hours for more income, they're not going to hire the same number of people, you know, that they're relocating. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean,
the
company,
they'll all relocate.
The company.
I mean, a lot of those jobs will go to the city that actually had the.
I'm not talking about the people. I'm just talking about the job itself. The company has already slashed its workforce by more than 16,000 to cope with a slumping economy, and said it would take another $500 million in restructuring costs in 2017. So you'd have to think there's a lot of jobs in that $500 million that they're going to restructure. And that's a lot of pensions also. That's what's in that $500 million.
Well, whatever's in there, again, it's just evidence that even Caterpillar doesn't particularly believe that Mr. Trump is going to be able to pull off this rebuilding the infrastructure. I mean, if they really thought this was going to happen, at least in the immediate future, you would think that Caterpillar would do what they could to hang on and say, okay, we're going to be getting busy here pretty quick. The fact that they're closing down some of their facilities, it's evidence that they don't believe the infrastructure, Mr. Trump's infrastructure problem or promises are not going to be kept in the immediate future. It may be that he succeeds in 2018 or 2019. But it doesn't look like it's going to even get started in 2017. And then we'll see after that. This is no small thing. We are in a bind. Where does he get $1 trillion to start building, rebuilding infrastructure? It's not just going to happen by snapping fingers or signing an executive order. He's going to have to come up with money at a time when we are so badly in debt. It's hard to go deeper into debt. Can't pay the debt we already have. Can't raise taxes on people because the economy is not that good. Where is the money going to come from?
And I get where they're trying to get the money and so forth. It's very logical and so forth. On the other hand, it takes time to put those loans together, those programs together, with the public investing and so forth. It takes time. And you know, they're not going to, you know, get it done overnight. So, yeah, it's one more thing here. And this is just kind of a no-nonsense type of article, but then again, $1 million. I mean, people say they need $1 million to retire. If you had $1 million in 1986, you would need almost $2.2 million today. And I think to myself, we talked a little bit about this last week. It's like, people are saving and striving. I mean, that's their goal, is to retire. And it's very ambitious. I can't imagine how most savers or retirement investors, you know, will actually obtain a $2.2 million retirement plus. And
$2.2 million retirement.
$2.2 million. $1 million.
Is this live at the White House or something like that?
They say to be safe that $1 million would start out generating just $30,000 to $35,000 per year and would go up just a bit each year to account for inflation. The challenge, while $30,000 to $35,000 plus Social Security is perfectly adequate for some people's retirements, it would simply not be enough for many people.
Well,
so, you know,
the idea that you need $2 million to get by,
that $1 million is not enough.
Well, you know that's not going to happen. How many people are going to have $1 million in assets whenever they retire? I'll tell you what the truth of the matter is. If you're concerned about your retirement, what you really ought to do, or at least your old age, you ought to start looking for a job that you really enjoy. Something that you can continue to do and enjoy doing even after you're over 65 years old. If you've got a job you hate, you're not going to want it, and you're going to want to retire. It might be a better idea to think in terms of, let me see if I can find a job I really like, and even though I might not make a lot of money off of it, I can perhaps continue to do it on into my 70s or who knows how old. And perhaps you're going to be looking for self-employment. Is there a way you can do your own start your own little business? But my point is, I don't know that retirement is still a viable choice in this country. Well, everybody talks about it. Everybody's kind of planning on it. Everyone's expecting it. But I don't know if that's still a reasonable expectation. You know, we're going to live a long time. On average, we're going to live quite a while after retirement. And where are you going to get the money? You going to leave the bills, just let the kids pay for you? Grandkids pay for you? Because you can't. They need a life, too. You have to take care of yourself one way or another. And that's one of the lessons. I don't think those of us who are trusting in government or pension funds to provide for us when we get to be elderly.
Yeah, but Al, what do we require? What do we require to spend to retire on? I mean, yes, it's true. $1 million doesn't buy you a home, buy you a lot, but I mean, for a lot, it's not going to be adequate for some people's retirement age. How much? I mean, and we're just talking. Remember, we talked the other day about a $35,000 a year needed for retirees. And it's not cruises, it's not vacations, it's not, you know, skydiving, it's not zip lining, it's medication, it's health service, it's transportation, it's food, it's energy, it's strictly the needs. And it's really a sad day when we can't live on a $35,000 to $40,000 a year income. For just
well, we're
the
not
basic
just talking about
needs,
income.
Just basic needs.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that $1 million is enough to live on for 30 years. I don't think most of us retiring are anticipating that we'll live for another 30 years. You get to retirement, all right, you're going to retire at 65, you're going to retire at 70, you're going to retire at 75. I don't know when you're going to retire, but how many of us expect to live another 30 years? You don't need to make a dime off that $1 million to take $30,000 a year, just keep on knocking off another 30, another 30, another 30. And hope you don't live more than 30
even
years.
If it isn't $1 million, Alan, that really isn't the point. The issue is it shouldn't cost us $35,000 to $40,000 a year just for basic needs.
Well, I agree. I agree with that. But here we are, and who's to blame? Who's to blame?
The dollar.
Well, I get that, but we the people who are going to be inconvenienced are the people who went along with the program, and they didn't use their head back at a time when they could have kept your politicians in line, and we failed to do so, and now we're going to pay a price. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Remember, folks, we got the great special on a quarter ounce American Gold Eagles, $330. Give us a call. They are limited at that low, low price. It's a very, very good price. I had something for you, and I can't seem to locate it, so I might have to hold off until tomorrow. And it is about knowing your Constitution. More states are looking to teach it. Now, you look at that headline and you think, oh, good. Oh, wow, more states are looking to teach it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's really a sad day when they don't already teach it. Yep. And they're just looking to teach it. Doesn't say they are going to be able to. And teachers are rejoicing at bringing back civics class, but mainly to study the citizenship test. So it's really not all about knowing the Constitution, but it's mainly to study the citizenship test.
And why do we want to study the citizenship test, Melody?
Well, gee, why do you think, Al?
Because we're illegal aliens?
Maybe. But and it's also sad that this is only becoming in the news, in the schools, and so forth, because of the travel ban that was signed by the President Trump. Mm-hmm. And the schools are now encouraging students to learn a little bit more about their Constitution and the citizenship test. So it really is, you know, the headline makes it sound great, but when you really think about it, it's like it's really pathetic.
It's and part of the reason we're having the trouble we're having
the problem.
And like we've all been ignorant for most of our lives, mm-hmm. right? And we have been our ignorance. We haven't minded being ignorant because we can be entertained instead of educated. We like entertainment more so than we like education. But the truth is, we should have been looking for education all the time, and we haven't been. And as a result, people who are educated and shifty have been able to take advantage of us to a significant degree. We have played the fool. Now we're going to pay the price for it. Millet and I were talking during the program about how her grandparents used to get along just fine and retired on $800 a month. Right? But that was at a time when a dollar was a silver dollar. Huh? Sure, it might be paper, but it was backed by silver, at least up until 1968. You could redeem silver certificates. In theory, I won't say all the dollars were backed by silver, but in theory, all of the dollars were backed by silver, at least up until 1968 when they stopped redeeming. After that, that's when the trouble really hit this country, and especially after 1971 when we completely abandoned the gold standard. And as a result, if you save money when you are relatively young for your retirement, by the time you get to retirement, the value of your currency has been diminished dramatically by inflation. And however much you saved, you could have had much, much more in terms of purchasing power if the government hadn't been attacking your savings with inflation. And they attack the savings in order, because a lot of the savings, your pension fund, for example, is frequently composed of U.S. treasuries, bonds. But if the government can cause enough inflation, they can reduce the real value of those bonds. If you had a $100,000 bond, you'll still get $100,000, but the $100,000 will only have a fraction of the purchasing power of the $100,000 you put into the bond. The $100,000 you get back will only have a fraction of the purchasing power. You will be impoverished, so the government can continue to promise to give suckers, fools, idiots. All right, which is what most of us have been. They promise us something for nothing. We say, yay, let's have more something for nothing. But there is no something for nothing. And as soon as you see a politician who's coming up and offering you some sort of a deal where you'll get some benefits because you're entitled, what you should do is get the tar and the feathers, all right? Because that guy is out to con you. He's out to deceive you. He is out to exploit you. There is no such thing as something for nothing. Somebody's going to pay for the something. And the only question is really who's going to pay for it. And anybody who comes, we're going to give you something for nothing, means we're going to take away from somebody else. That politician is a thief. He's a crook. He should not be supported. That political party promising you something for nothing. It could be welfare for the poor, subsidies for the rich. They're a bunch of crooks. You're not entitled to a nickel or a dime you haven't earned yourself. And that seems harsh to a lot of people. But just suppose that we had a legitimate monetary system where we could, where our dollars were worth the same today as they were 50 years ago. That could happen if we had gold and silver backing our money. Without it, we have currency that's a dollar is now worth less than a nickel compared to 1971. That couldn't have happened if it was still backed by gold and silver. And it's helping to create this pension problem that we're going to see unfold in our lifetimes. We're going to see this. I mean, we're seeing it in a lot of places already, but it's being perceived as an aberration, as something that's just, oh, it's just happening with the Teamsters, or it's just in Chicago or whatever. And this is going to be widespread. And the elderly are going to be in a lot of trouble.
And the media is not paying any attention to it because they don't want anybody to panic.
Yep.
You know, that's why they're restructuring. Everything is restructuring.
It's being
restructured. Well, that means you're losing.
That's right. That's what restructuring means. It's a kinder, gentler way of saying we're going to default and we're not going to pay you in full. How about that? We'll call it restructuring, but what it really is fraud and or robbery.
Companies don't file bankruptcy anymore. They restructure.
Mm-hmm. Which means restructuring means that the creditor has to agree to take a beating. If it was bankruptcy, then the creditor loses whether he likes it or not. But with restructuring, he gets something back. And it's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp bankruptcy stick. Right, he'll get a little bit back, and they take the deal.
Depends on which bankruptcy you file, but
yeah.
But anyway.
Even so, we are coming into this trouble because we have been ignorant, we have been greedy, we have failed to be responsible Americans, and we have elected idiot after idiot and corrupt SOB after corrupt SOB to Congress and the Senate and the White House. They've bamboozled us.
All right.
And it's not just their fault for bamboozling us. It's our fault for a lot. You know, you can't con an honest man. He doesn't want anything he hasn't earned. It's the greedy and the fearful. They're easy to con. They want something they haven't earned.
Mm. I just wanted to get back a little bit to this Constitution. And you had Kentucky last week and Arkansas on March 16. They became the latest of more than a dozen states since 2015 that have required the high school social studies curriculum to include material covered by the 100 questions asked on the naturalization exam. Lawmakers in other states, including Minnesota, are hoping to foster even deeper understanding of the fundamentals of American democracy by adding a full course to study its most important documents. A retired classroom teacher in Fairbanks, Alaska, says rights might be inherent, but ideas need to be taught.
I agree.
When you have a system of government that's based on ideas espoused in the Declaration of Independence and carried out with a working document in the Constitution, those ideas need to be taught.
Well, I'll give you an idea that they could teach to people. First of all, the word democracy does not appear in our Constitution.
True.
What we are guaranteed is a Republican form of government, which is something different from a democracy, and I would be surprised if one person in 1,000 even understood what I'm talking about right now, but that's what it guarantees.
Our listeners,
Article
too.
4, Section 4. Mm-hmm. Listeners, maybe, but I'm saying it over the country, 1 in 1,000, maybe, and then that's even improbable. That's being overly generous.
It irritates me.
When do they teach us what's really supposed to be going on in the Constitution? Democracy.
Anyway, here's what they do on the citizenship test. Is there's a An applicant must correctly answer 6 of 10 questions selected from 100 possible questions to pass the civics portion. And this is a sample test. Now, the question is, what does the Constitution do?
It creates or constitutes a government called the United States.
Sets up the answer to that is sets up the government, defines the government, and protects basic rights of Americans. The idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. What are these words?
We the people, in order to form a exactly. more perfect union, blah, blah,
That's
blah.
Just the first three words. What is an amendment?
It's a change to the body of the Constitution, which was originally ratified by the people in 1788. The first 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights came in 1789.
What do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution?
Bill of Rights.
How many amendments does the Constitution have?
27.
What are the two rights in the Declaration of Independence?
With rights, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So
that's the answer that they were looking
for. There's three of them.
There's three. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one power of the federal government?
Coin money.
To declare war and to create an army or to make treaties. Under our Constitution, the Federalist Papers supported the passage of the Constitution. Name one of the writers.
The Constitution? Or the Federalist Papers?
The Federalist Papers.
Probably James Madison, but I don't know for sure.
It was Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison.
Okay.
9, there are 4 amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them. That's an easy one. Come on, Al.
I don't know if it is an easy one or not. I'm not sure if they are going to count the 14th Amendment.
They're not that complicated.
I don't have an answer for you.
Well, citizens 18 and older can vote. You don't have to pay to vote. Any citizen can vote. A male citizen of any race can vote.
What about the women?
I know.
But they've been letting women vote improperly. Has this been another entitlement program?
It says any citizen can vote.
Even if she's a woman?
What is one right of or freedom from the First Amendment?
Freedom of the press, freedom of speech.
Freedom of religion.
Freedom of religion.
Petition the government.
Yes, yeah, agreed, right, to petition the government for...
So those are 10 questions
grievances.
That is asked under the U.S. citizenship test.
Okay.
Do you approve?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think we should all be learning, but I think they talked about, you mentioned one... I don't remember one source who said they were going to have one course on this to teach the important documents. If it was up to me, they would. There are 4 documents that comprise the organic law of the United States of America. And the first one's the Declaration of Independence. Second one's the Articles of Confederation. Third one is the Northwest Ordinance. And the fourth one is the Constitution of the United States. You should have 1 year on the Declaration of Independence, not one course for all of these documents. 1 year, first year, freshman. All right, Declaration of Independence, second year, Articles of Confederation, third year, Northwest Ordinance, and fourth year, Constitution of the United States. 2 semesters, all right, if that's all they have are 2 semesters. I don't know if they're doing 2 semesters or 3, but it should be full year and 1 year on each course. We are the most litigious society in the world, and yet no one teaches us a thing about how to deal with contracts, how to deal with parking tickets, how to deal with how to go to court. We are among the most legally ignorant people on the face of the earth, and yet we live in the most litigious society, and that's not an accident. We are the most litigious society precisely because we are legally ignoramuses. Right? We don't know anything about the law. Right? And they don't teach us. It's not just because we have been negligent. It's a fundamental form of literacy that people should learn in high school. You should not be able to graduate from high school if you don't at least understand a contract, all right? And better yet, a trust relationship. Those concepts should be taught, and they're not. And it's not an accident because it's not taught anywhere. If it was an accident, it might not be taught in Texas, but it would be taught in Arkansas and Maine and Illinois. If it was taught, it's not taught anywhere, and the reason for that is they want you dumb. They want you ignorant so you can be manipulated and bamboozled. And that goes for your Congress, your Senate, your presidents, your state legislatures. They want dumb taxpayers because you'll put up with things that you would not put up with if you were actually educated on the law. So we got a minute to go, Melody. I've said my little piece.
I'm finished with my little quiz.
Well, here, I'll give you one. Here's something from the last 45 seconds or so. Here's something from the U.S. Treasury. This is reported by 24H Gold. Federal notes have no value for themselves. This is a statement from the U.S. Treasury. They give you a website here at the www.treasury.gov.education.faq.currency. And then there's something else in here, but it's too long to... But the Federal Reserve notes, they're quoting apparently, are not redeemable in gold, silver, or any other quality and receive no backing by anything. This has been the case since 1933. The notes have no value for themselves but for what they will buy. Who's going to buy? How do you get value out of your Federal Reserve notes? They're worthless. They're paying your Federal Reserve notes. You are not being paid. You don't get paid till you find some idiot who sells you a car, a house, or whatever for Federal Reserve notes. We're out of time. Be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.